the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Welcome back. Frank Rainey here filling in for Matt Cooper this evening. Now, Sri Lanka, the pearl of the Indian Ocean, is the destination for this week's travel slot with Sarah Slattery of thetravelexpert.ie. And Sarah, despite its small size, it does seem to have a lot to offer all types of holidaymakers, doesn't it?
That's right, Frank. Yeah, I think when people hear the Indian Ocean, they just expect these paradise beaches, which it does have. Mm. But I was really surprised how much there was to see. We were there for a week and we sort of had a tour. And I mean, we could have spent 2 weeks there. In fact, I'd say, I mean, the beaches are spectacular, but I'd say if you want to go for a beach holiday, like that's not the reason you nearly go. It's for all the other incredible sights and adventure and wildlife and everything that it actually offers.
Yeah, and in terms of weather, you know, speaking to people that have gone to locations in Europe over the last while, it's pretty hot at the moment. When's the best time to travel to Sri Lanka for a holiday?
Well, actually, it's in one way, you're kind of lucky because there's two different monsoon seasons. There's May to December in the southwest of the country, and then in the northeast of the country, there's October to January. So no matter when you go, like, you can kind of go anytime because you just pick, the most important thing, I suppose, is that you pick a beach area that you can, you know, that obviously isn't, there isn't going to be too much rain, and that you can swim in, because the monsoons can get a bit, like, there can be really strong currents. We were in this incredible. We just visited for the day this amazing Shangri-La hotel, and like nobody was allowed to swim in the sea, which was just insane. So it is, there is a bit of research involved. It's make sure you book the right times, you go to the right destinations. But I would imagine that for a lot of people who are going, you're going to want to do the cultural centre, you're going to want to see the wildlife, you're going to want to see, you know, all the attractions, which you can kind of see, you know, throughout the year. So, you know, any time's a good time, really.
Tell us a little bit about that then, because as you say, there's this misconception that it's just all about these amazing tropical, you know, blue beaches, sandy beaches. But there's so much more to it, isn't there, in terms of culture and history, ancient cities, UNESCO, World Heritage Sites, things like that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's almost the same size as Ireland, the island of Ireland.
A lot more people, I should say, yeah.
Well, yeah, 22 million people, which is kind of crazy. But there's 8 UNESCO World Heritage Sites, like when you think we have 3. Mm-hmm. There's so much to see and do. Now, it isn't the easiest place to get around. Like, the roads wouldn't be their strong point. So I'd say I would definitely recommend booking a tour if you want to see the cultural centre. But one of the things you can do quite easily, say you book a cheap beach holiday, is see some of the wildlife. So there's almost 7,000 elephants in Sri Lanka. Like, you can't really miss them, you know. Mm-hmm. So many elephants there. And there's, in that kind of cultural centre, you can do safaris. There's 2 national parks right next to each other, and the elephants are free to roam between the two. So it's really, like, it's a fabulous thing to experience. Between June and October, you see about 200 elephants around the watering hole. But, like, it just at any time of year, you will see elephants there. It's all Also, there's one of the best places in the world to see leopards, would you believe? So if anybody who has been on a safari like myself and never seen a leopard, you have a better chance of seeing them in Sri Lanka. There's more there per square kilometre than anywhere else. And there's no lions or tigers to kind of threaten their existence, which helps as well. Now, again, it's important to check with the weather on this side, because Yala National Park, you know, can, depending in September, October time, it can, parts of it can be closed due to weather. So that's why it's important you check with your travel agent and you get the right trip booked. But yeah, absolutely amazing wildlife. Also one of the best places to see blue whales right to the shore from January to April. So lots for wildlife enthusiasts anyway.
Okay, and just in terms of those temples that I mentioned a moment ago, the Temple of the Tooth Relic is one that caught my eye. Did you go and visit that?
I did. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, you go and you see maybe 1 or 2 temples and, you know, depending on obviously your own interests, but like they really are quite extraordinary. The Temple of the Tooth Relic is probably the most famous because it's actually one of the famous sites in all of Buddhism. It holds the relic of the tooth of the Buddha, I can't think of his name now, who actually, the founder of Buddhism. Mm. So that's definitely, and it's a working temple. So the ceremony's taking place there. We went in the evening and it was all lit up. Really, really fabulous.
And it's okay to come and go there as a tourist.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's in that cultural capital, Kandy, where, you know, most people will visit. You can get lots of trips and everything from there. And another one that I absolutely loved was the Dambulla Caves, where you walk up and it just looks like a regular kind of temple. And then you step inside and there's like 150 Buddha statues. One of them is like 46 foot long. This reclining Buddha that was built out of the cave. Like, it's absolutely mind-blowing, you know. So I'd say you definitely need to allow time to see some of that side of it as well.
Yeah.
Another thing that one of my favourite experiences was this rock fortress called Sigiriya Rock. Again, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, but it's this absolutely massive rock that's in the rainforest. It's really, even just looking at it, it's amazing to see it. Mm. But what makes it even more extraordinary was there was a palace built on the top of it in the 5th century. Now, it's hard to climb it with a backpack. I don't know how they brought up material.
You're speaking from personal experience, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did climb it and it's not for the faint-hearted. Like, you're kind of hanging off the side of the rock in parts and the steps are a bit hairy. Like,
it sounds a bit like Cambodia. I've never been to Sri Lanka, but I have been to Cambodia, and Angkor Wat, the tallest temple in that particular area. You're taking your life into your own hands climbing up some of these places, yeah. But it is worthwhile if you can manage it.
Yeah, that's probably very similar. But when you wonder how they built this, you know, palace at the top of it in the 5th century, it's just kind of mind-blowing. But I would definitely recommend visiting it. You don't have to climb it, but it is a pretty cool thing to do when you're there as well.
Can I ask you about the grub in Sri Lanka? I love trying these different cuisines when you go to a place like that. What kind of food are you getting served up there?
So good. Oh, really? like lots of curry,
yeah.
And, you know, Asian influences. Really, really. And you know what? It's so cheap. Like, the cost of living is so cheap as well. Food was really, really good when we were there. Wouldn't have any issues there at all. And then there are some kind of, I suppose, different kind of influence as well, I suppose, because it was, you know, it was a port. It was once, I think it was a Dutch colony at one stage. Yep. It was British as well. So you've got these, you know, tea plantations, which are spectacular, absolutely spectacular, 100%, definitely go there as well. And you've got this Portuguese fort city, Gal is what they call it, at the south of the island, which is like a walled city. It was originally built by the Portuguese, then it was expanded by the Dutch. So you've got these kind of Mediterranean influences as well as the Asian ones. And it's a kind of really cool walled city with cafes and restored little boutique hotels. And that's where the stick fisherman fish from, you know, they're on those tall little
things.
Like, that's a really, really cool part of Sri Lanka to visit as well. I mean, there's actually just so much to talk about.
And the people as well. How did you find the welcome in terms of tourists? Because you do hear that they're a very welcoming, a very friendly nation of people.
Yeah, they're actually called, when I was actually researching for this, because one of the things that's stuck in my mind was how friendly the people were. And when I was just doing some research here, I noticed, I didn't know this, but they're actually known as the nation of smiling people.
Ah, well,
I didn't realise. So they're actually extremely friendly. And I remember actually when we were down at the stick fisherman looking at these guys, you know, and all they, you know, that's all they had was their little stick to catch their fish. And he was like, "We don't stress. There's always going to be fish in the sea. There'll always be bananas on the trees. You know, no stress here." And it was just...
That's refreshing, cool. Isn't it?
It was. It really was. It was amazing.
And look, we're almost out of time, Sarah, but I do want to... You mentioned food and the cost of living over there. It's quite reasonable to go once you're over there. But how do you get there and how expensive are the flights? And talk to us about accommodation as well. What are your options?
To be honest, I actually think it's a really great value destination. I mean, there's loads of flights, one-stop flights with Emirates, Etihad, Qatar, and the total journey time is between 30 and 14 hours, including your stop in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, whatever. And you can get a package. Like, so if you want to do it yourself, I suggest, you know, you can book a cheap package. There's a good four-star hotel. I have all these on the website. An all-inclusive property for $12.99 for a week for 7 nights, including flights. And then you could kind of book your tours, do your own thing. That's a beach hotel. Do your own thing after that, or else what I would strongly recommend you do is actually book an actual tour with the beach, because there's so much to see. So if you want to book like the Best of Sri Lanka 9-night tour, including breakfast, dinner every day and seeing all those sites I talked about, that would be 2,369, including your flights. And then I would suggest maybe adding on a little beach day at the end. So it depends on, I suppose, what you want to do. One of the things that is also worth mentioning is weddings, because the extraordinary prices of weddings in Ireland, the weddings in Sri Lanka are actually legally recognised here. You don't have to come back and get married again.
Okay.
And a lot of the hotels do free weddings. So you can get flights, accommodation, and in a 5-star hotel, I actually stayed in this hotel, for $18.49 for a week. And that's on your free wedding.
Wow, God, that's incredible value for money. And you mentioned that all of these are on the website as well, Sarah, are they?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Fantastic. But it's certainly ticking a lot of boxes, because I, unlike my partner, I'm not one to sit down by the pool or wander by the beach and relax with a book. I find I get quite bored very easily. But by the sounds of it, like, you can do that in Sri Lanka, but there's also so much else to see and do.
Absolutely, which
sounds fantastic. And all of those are on the website. That's thetravelexpert.ie. Sarah Slattery, thanks very much for that.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.